If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to Psalm 23. As you know, on Sunday, March 22, we started having virtual fellowship services using Zoom conferencing. On that Sunday, I said that I was going to suspend my series on the life of David and begin a series of meditations that I called Hope in Troubled Times. And this is the last in that series of meditations because we plan to begin our corporate in-person worship services this coming Lord's Day on Sunday, May 31, at which time I plan to resume my series on the life of David. And I hope you'll be able to return for that. Now, as we conclude our series of meditations on hope in troubled times, as I said, I would like to look at Psalm 23. One commentator said of Psalm 23 these words: "It is the most prominent, the most loved, the most used, the most preached on, and the most written upon of all Psalms. 10,000s of people have memorized this Psalm," and perhaps you too have memorized Psalm 23. So I invite you to follow in your Bibles as I read to you from Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. A psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm that is so well known, and yet it is so rich, so beautiful, so filled with treasures that we can spend weeks and weeks meditating on this beautiful psalm. Help us today to understand the richness and the beauty that is contained in this psalm. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the superscription of Psalm 23 says, "A Psalm of David." Now, many think that David wrote this psalm as a young teenager when he was a shepherd. You sort of picture David lying on the lush green grass on his back, looking up, and there's a gentle flowing stream passing by. And he penned the words of this memorable psalm at that time. However, it's far more likely that David wrote this psalm late in life, possibly during the rebellion of his son Absalom. And as David looked back over his very difficult and tumultuous life while presently facing a crisis, that is when he wrote the words of Psalm 23. Now, this psalm, as you know, is often used at funerals. And while it is appropriate to be used at such a time, it really is a psalm about the Lord's provision for his people, especially during a time of crisis, during a time of difficulty, such as we are going through at the present time. In 1970, W. Philip Keller wrote a book titled "A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I highly commend this book to you. It's a rich study from the perspective of a shepherd on Psalm 23, and his writing has informed much of my meditation today. Psalm 23 shows us the Lord's provision for his people. And I want to look at just two points out of this psalm. First, my relationship to the Lord, and second, my provision from the Lord. So first, let's look at my relationship to the Lord. David writes in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, who is the Lord? Who is this one who is my shepherd? And what credentials does he have to be my shepherd, my owner, my manager? David was, of course, referring to Jehovah, the supreme, sovereign, almighty, all-powerful, omniscient creator, God of Israel. It was this Lord whom David called my shepherd. Now, James Montgomery Boyce writes this, and he says, "In Israel, as in other ancient societies, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all works. If a family needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son, like David, who got this unpleasant assignment. Shepherds had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day. Summer and the task of caring for them was unending. Day and night, summer and winter, in fair weather and foul, they labored to nourish, guide, and protect the sheep. Who in his right mind would choose to be a shepherd? Yet Jehovah has chosen to be our shepherd," David says. "The great God of the universe has stooped to take just such care of you and me." And then as you reflect on the Gospels, you remember that Jesus, God incarnate, once said of himself, "I am the good shepherd." He put it this way in John chapter 10. But before I read to you this section in John chapter 10, I want to give you a little background. So the shepherds who own various flocks of sheep, maybe small flocks of 15, 20, 30 sheep, they would band together and they would build a sheep pen with stones and rocks and build a wall. And it would be fairly large, and say 4 or 5 shepherds would band together, and there'd be one gate, one entrance into the shepherd pen, and there would be a gatekeeper there who would let the shepherd in with his sheep, and the 4 or 5 flocks would be inside this pen. And when the shepherd would come to get his sheep, he would call them by name, and they recognized his voice, and his own flock would follow him out, and the rest of the sheep would wait until their shepherd would come to get them. And keep that in mind as I read to you from John chapter 10. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And later in the chapter, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is such a good shepherd that he went to the cross and laid down his life for his very own sheep. That's what gives him the credential to be my shepherd. When I put my trust in Jesus and repented of my sin on Easter Sunday in 1976, Jesus became my shepherd. So it's entirely appropriate to read verse 1 of this psalm and say, "The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I belong to Jesus, and he is my shepherd." And so I ask you, are you able to say that? "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, second, I want us to examine my provision from the Lord. My provision from the Lord. David goes on and writes in the second part of the first verse, "I shall not want." In other words, David is saying, "I shall lack nothing." Now, you may know, sheep are apparently not very bright and are tremendously needy and utterly dependent upon the shepherd for their proper care. And unlike many other animals, they do not fend well for themselves. But the good shepherd takes such good care of his sheep that they lack nothing. The hired hand doesn't care very well for the sheep at all under his care. They're not his sheep. He doesn't really care about them. Keller writes this. He says, "In memory, I can still see one of the sheep ranches in our district that was operated by a tenant sheepman, that is, a hired hand. He ought never to have been allowed to keep sheep. His stock were always thin, weak, and riddled with disease and parasites. Again and again, they would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the woven wire at the green, lush pastures that my flock enjoyed. Had they been able to speak, I'm sure they would have said, 'Oh, to be set free from this awful owner.'" And he goes on and he says, "This is a picture that has never left my memory. It's a picture of pathetic people the world over who have not known what it is to belong to the good shepherd, who suffer instead under sin and Satan." And because Jesus is my good shepherd, I shall lack nothing. There is nothing that I lack. And so in the rest of the psalm, I want to show you what it is that I do not lack. First, I shall not lack rest. Look at verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, Keller makes the note, and I didn't know this, and perhaps you knew it, but I didn't, that for sheep to lie down, four requirements must be met. And Keller says this: "Owing to their timidity, sheep refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. And lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger, fear, friction, flies, hunger. Each of these anxieties must be satisfactorily addressed before the sheep will lie down and rest." My dear friend, we who belong to Jesus are like sheep. We too struggle with fear, friction at times among ourselves, torments from external pests and sometimes even lacking basic needs. We find ourselves restless and unable to rest, sometimes literally at night. Keller goes on to note, and this is so beautiful, it is only the shepherd himself who can provide release from these anxieties. And in just the same way, it is only our good shepherd who provides us with release from these anxieties. But take note, as a good shepherd, he does take care of our anxieties so that we may rest. In one of the most precious of all Jesus' promises, our good shepherd has said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls." Oh, my dear brother and sister, go to Jesus. He will give you rest. He will take care of your fears, the friction that you have with others, the torments you experience from the outside, and even address your basic needs. He will provide rest for you and for me. Second, I shall not lack refreshment. Verse 2 goes on and says, "He leads me beside still waters." Now note that the key to providing water doesn't lie with the sheep, but with the shepherd. The shepherd knows where the best water is, and sometimes he has to work hard to make sure that the water is good and drinkable. The sheep will drink whatever putrid water they see, and they may pick up internal parasites that will damage them and cause them harm. Our good shepherd once said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." To drink from Jesus means to believe in him and to have an ongoing personal relationship with him in which we are drawing life-giving refreshment from him. But how do we do that? We spend time with him. We spend time with him in prayer. We spend time with him in his word. And as we do so, we will find refreshment for our souls. Third, I shall not lack restoration. Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul." As we study the psalm, we want to keep in mind that the psalmist is speaking from the perspective of the sheep with regard to the shepherd, the Christian believer, talking about his relationship with his Savior. And so what is meant when he says, "He restores my soul," or my life? Psalm 42:11, the psalmist cries out, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God." Now, Keller notes that the shepherds sometimes have to take care of a cast or cast down sheep. He says that this is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot get up by itself again. The way it happens is like this. A heavy, fat, or long fleece sheep will lie comfortably down in some hollow in the ground, and it's sort of settling in, and it rolls over. And as it rolls, its body causes it to overturn a little bit too much, and its feet are no longer touching the ground, and it will begin to paw frantically, and it cannot touch the ground. And as it does so, it rolls even more into a prone, upright position in which it is not able to turn over. The gases will escape from the body, stop circulation, and within a few hours, the sheep dies. And the only one who can help the sheep is the shepherd. Sometimes I am like a lost sheep. I'm doing fine, going along well. But suddenly, I lose my spiritual equilibrium. I thrash about, crying for help. And then the Good Shepherd comes to me, like he did with Peter, after Peter denied Jesus with oaths and cursings, and he restores my soul. He sets me up straight. He lets me know that I'm okay, and that he is taking care of me. Fourth, I shall not lack guidance. Verse 3, at the end it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now sheep, as I said already, don't manage themselves very well at all. They require constant care and help. And left to themselves, the sheep will follow the same trails every day until there's a deep rut in it. They'll eat the same vegetation until they actually get rid of all the roots and there's dirt on the ground. They will drink polluted water until they become diseased, and they'll actually wander off until they become lost. But a competent shepherd will take his sheep to a pasture, a good pasture, and he'll let them graze there until the grass is at a certain point that he says, okay, we need to move on to another pasture, and he'll move them on to a different pasture so that the first pasture has time to replenish and to come back to where it's lush and green and fruitful again. David captures the idea of leading the sheep not just in the straight way, but in the right path. That is, the righteous path. Now, I stray and get into trouble and sin when I go my own way. But my good shepherd leads me in paths of righteousness. When I pay attention to his voice, when I heed his word that he's given to me in his word, I can walk in paths of righteousness. Fifth, I shall not lack courage. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, this is the verse that is particularly used at funerals or to comfort those who are dying. And as I said earlier, it's not wrong to do so. But actually, this verse speaks particularly about the shepherd's ability to protect the sheep during times of great danger. Keller notes that in many parts of the world, shepherds take their sheep seasonally from the lowlands where the farmer lives. And in the springtime, and so he takes them through the valleys up onto the highlands where they are grazing in the summertime. And so going from the lowlands to the highlands, they have to go through these valleys. And these valleys are places of rich vegetation and wonderful water, but they are also places of much danger. Wild animals lurk in the crannies of these mountainous walls. There are many shadows in these valleys, so danger lurks in the valley of the shadow of death. But so long as the shepherd is watching the sheep and he's carefully paying attention to his sheep, they feel safe. In the words of the sheep, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's also important to note that the valley of the shadow of death is just as much the right path as the green pastures and the still waters. Sometimes my good shepherd leads me through very difficult and dangerous places. Life, as you know, it is not always a bed of roses. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there are trials and difficulties and dangers. And yet I need not fear. Why? Because my good shepherd is with me. Therefore, I have courage. Sixth, I shall not lack provision. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, some commentators say that this verse switches the imagery from a shepherd and his sheep to a host and his guest. That may be right. But I do think Keller may also be right when he suggests that the high pastures in some parts of the world is called a mesa, which is the Spanish word for table. The best example of a high pasture actually is Table Mountain in Cape Town, South Africa, where I'm from. And Keller says that as the summer approaches, the shepherd goes up onto the table and he goes and prepares the table for the sheep that will come up later. And he gets rid of all of the dangerous animals. He gets rid of all of the poisonous plants. So he'll drive all the predators away. He'll make sure that there's sufficient water and that the water is good. Moreover, he'll find a mixture or make a mixture of olive oil and different other ingredients, and then he'll put it all over the head of his sheep. And sometimes he has to take sheep through those little pens where they have chemicals in them or whatever to help the sheep stay free from flies and parasites in the summertime up on the table. My good shepherd leads me to a table that he has prepared for me. He will clear out the hazards and the enemies that want to hurt me. And he will apply the healing balm of his love to my head so that I am protected from outside attackers. He does all of that because I have a good shepherd. Seventh, I shall not lack love. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As I said earlier, the hired hand, the tenant farmer, really doesn't care about the sheep because they do not belong to him. But the good shepherd loves his sheep. He watches them over them constantly to make sure that they are safe, that they're protected, that they have all that they need. The shepherd and the sheep sense the shepherd's goodness and mercy. And the Hebrew word for mercy is steadfast love. My good shepherd loves me, and he will do so all the days of my life. And then finally, I shall not lack housing. At the end of verse 6, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Summer has come to an end, and so has fall. And the shepherd now takes the sheep that are up on the table, and he leads them back down again into the lowlands, back to his home, where they will spend the winter in the shelter, in the area, and the protection of his home. And my good shepherd will lead me and bring me to his eternal home, where I will be with him forever and ever. My dear friends, as we've looked at and studied Psalm 23, are you able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? I hope you can. I hope you can see that this good shepherd provides for us in such a wonderful way that we lack nothing. I don't lack rest. I don't lack refreshment. I don't lack restoration, guidance, courage, provision, love, or an eternal home. And right now, Jesus is preparing that eternal home for me and for those who belong to him. If you've never done so, put your trust in Jesus today so that he too can be your good shepherd. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus And as he said of himself, he is the good shepherd. Thank you so much for the wonderful care that Jesus provides to me and to every one of his own sheep. Oh Lord, if there is anyone who is not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, will you grant that person faith and repentance so that you may be the good shepherd to that person today and forever as well. Amen.